Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the state of Georgia. Glad to have you with me this morning. If you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. This hour sponsored by Dynamic Money. You need help with your finances, teaching your kids good finances, getting yourself out of debt, restructuring debt. Check out Dynamic Money. Chris Burns, thanks to him for hosting yesterday as well. Thank you to Dynamic Money for sponsoring the show. Go to dynamicmoney.com. Mark Lotter from the Trump campaign is going to be joining me in the next hour to talk about impeachment. Gordon Sondland will be taking his seat momentarily. As necessary, I will bring up the House impeachment stuff. We will get to the House impeachment situation, but I want to ask you to bear with me first since I was gone yesterday. By the way, my wife's scans were good yesterday. Thank you for the prayers. She goes every 3 months for her oncology scans. They were good yesterday. We'll go back in 3 months, metronomic regularity with that. Thank you very much for your prayers and your well wishes and kind words. Many of you emailed. Again, the phone number 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I want to start, before I do anything else, I want to talk about Chick-fil-A. Had I been here yesterday, we would have talked about it yesterday. Could not. And I think it's worth discussing. Chick-fil-A, the culture war chicken, whether they want to be in the culture war or not. For those of you who are not sure of the story, and I got to tell you, the story broke during this show on Monday. The news interview came out. I had it in my hands before 10:30 on Monday morning, and I thought it was a joke. I had never heard of the website. I didn't think it was real, so I didn't even bother discussing it on the show. And it blew up that afternoon. Turns out the story is real. Chick-fil-A has confirmed it. And they have made a lot of their loyal customer base mad with what happened. And I want to navigate this. Let me give you the facts first. Let's make some presuppositions, and then let's handle this. And I'll be happy to take your calls on this as well. Chick-fil-A has in the past supported a number of outside charities through its foundation. Essentially, part of the profits of Chick-fil-A go into the Chick-fil-A Foundation. The foundation then directs charitable giving for the company. In the past, Chick-fil-A has been a longtime supporter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. As a result of supporting both organizations, Chick-fil-A has come under attack from progressive activists for being a homophobic company. As you will recall, in the past, Chick-fil-A supported nonprofits that funded marriage, supported traditional marriage, were considered to be anti-gay groups by left-wing activists. And Chick-fil-A redirected money away from those organizations over time, went with the Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They're now being attacked for supporting these. The Salvation Army in particular has come under sustained attack by left-wing groups who are convinced that it is a homophobic organization. Now, I can tell you from my experience in dealing with Salvation Army, I'm a huge supporter of the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army does not care whether you are gay, straight, transgendered, or anything else. You can be any member of the alphabet LGBTQ gang, and you can get served by the Salvation Army. Likewise, you can be a member of the alphabet gang and work at the Salvation Army. You can even get spousal benefits in your same-sex marriage from the Salvation Army. The organization recognizes God's sovereignty and believes that God created us and believes in biblical truths. And part of the biblical truth is love your neighbor, help everybody. And that's what the Salvation Army does. And it is mind-boggling that the left has decided the Salvation Army, the largest nonprofit dedicated to helping homelessness in the United States, is somehow a controversial organization. But the Salvation Army is under attack. And just this past week, Ellie Goulding, a British singer, said she would boycott an appearance. She would cancel an appearance at a sporting event that she was going to participate in because the Salvation Army was going to get the proceeds from that event. And left-wing activists pressured her, and she said she wouldn't do it unless the Salvation Army bowed to the woke mob, which they're not doing. So Chick-fil-A comes out, and the president and chief operating officer of Chick-fil-A, whose name is Tim Tessopoulos, released a statement saying that they're not going to give to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or the Salvation Army anymore. He said in an interview, "There's no question we know that as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. There are lots of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message." So the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes are out. They're going to give to some other organizations, one called Covenant House. Covenant House has had its own scandal in the past, and I'm sure the left will come after them. The left is declaring victory on Chick-fil-A. The left, it should be noted, progressive activists are declaring this a win, saying they have essentially shamed Chick-fil-A into getting rid of the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as groups they fund with their money. What troubles conservatives is Tessopoulos' statement that as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are, saying that as he distances the company from the Salvation Army. Now, what are these new markets? Well, remember, Chick-fil-A wanted to go into the British market and wanted to go into various airports in progressive enclaves, and they've been blocked by governmental entities. And in fact, in Britain, it was the landlord threw them out for being anti-gay. And they were cited, the anti-gay support was part of what people have been citing is the Salvation Army. So as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. So they stop funding the Salvation Army. They say they want to fund homelessness. Ironically, the Salvation Army is the largest nonprofit in this country dedicated to fighting homelessness. So for Chick-fil-A to say it's got to distance itself from the Salvation Army to support homelessness is like the Navy saying it's got to get off large bodies of water and onto dry land in order to float ships. It makes no sense. So conservatives have interpreted this as a cave to the left. The left has interpreted this as a cave to the left. Interestingly enough, GLAAD, the radical gay rights group, is saying this isn't enough. Chick-fil-A still needs to be condemned and boycotted for still being anti-gay. They can't win with the woke tribe unless they capitulate and start paying reparations to the Alphabet Gang charities. Now, that is your synopsis of what has happened. I want to do something here that a lot of people aren't doing on the right, but I feel like strongly I think we need to do. It's a feel and a think. Let's give Chick-fil-A the benefit of all doubt. Let's give them the benefit of all doubt that let's presume that this is not about placating the left. Let's presume this has nothing to do with distancing themselves from Christian groups. Let's presume that they've been giving money to these organizations, and now they've decided, hey, we've given to them for several years. We want to go give to other organizations now. If we presume that, we need to start from this position. This is Chick-fil-A's money, and Chick-fil-A can do whatever it wants to do. Chick-fil-A has every right to do with its money as it wishes, and no nonprofit is ever entitled to anyone's money. You are not obligated to support the Salvation Army, and Chick-fil-A is not obligated to support the Salvation Army. So let's make those our presuppositions. Let us presume that there was nothing nefarious here. Let us presume Chick-fil-A just wants to do as they said and go with new charities. They've gone with other charities in the past. Now they want to go do new things. That still causes some problems that Chick-fil-A needs to clarify. And it does, because whether they want to be or not, Chick-fil-A is in the culture war. They don't want to be in the culture war. They would prefer to be out of the culture war, but the left and the right are dragging them into the culture war. And frankly, the left started it. The left dragged Chick-fil-A into the culture war long before anyone on the right wanted to. It was, if nothing else, the right responded to the left's orthodoxies against Chick-fil-A and attacking Chick-fil-A and redoubled their support. There are a lot of customers at Chick-fil-A who love the Salvation Army, who love the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, who love these other groups, and they interpreted Chick-fil-A distancing themselves from both groups at the moment. And this is the key. Let's presume there's no nefarious intention, but let us also understand that this comes at the very moment the left is telling Chick-fil-A that they will be fought ruthlessly in airports and in local locations around the world until they distance from these two groups. And they just so happen to distance from the two groups the left is telling them, you got to stop supporting. So it can be coincidence and it can be bad communications, but it has left an impression that Chick-fil-A is caving to the left-wing mob. They're trying to make friends of enemies by making enemies of their friends. Now, we can say that's not what they intended, but I think we also need to recognize, acknowledge, and admit that that's how it's been interpreted by both the left and the right. So I think Chick-fil-A needs to do some things here to make this right and to clarify the situation, because I have talked to multiple reporters. You do need to know this piece of it. I've talked to multiple reporters who have reached out to Chick-fil-A and have asked a very simple question. Will you in the future support Christian groups that publicly maintain biblical orthodoxy on marriage and gender identity? And Chick-fil-A has not said yes to that question. They've not said no either. They've tried to avoid the question, and that has made people suspicious. So if I were Chick-fil-A, here's what I would do. One, I would release a statement saying that they are proud to have supported the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. Two, they have decided to reprioritize their donations to help other nonprofits after years of supporting these groups, and in the future, they would very much want to consider going back to supporting these groups, but feel there are other worthy causes that are deserving of their money right now. Three, I would tell them they need to acknowledge their customers' concerns that they're caving and say that they support the Salvation Army and the mission of the Salvation Army and a Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the mission of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they wish them well, and they do not regret supporting them in the past, and they encourage their customers to continue supporting them in the future. And four, I would work with local franchisees to invite the bell ringers. Let the Salvation Army bell ringers come to Chick-fil-A this year. And basically what that would be doing is it would be putting the burden of support on the customer base. The customer base is upset that Chick-fil-A is not going to support Salvation Army. Well, you go support the Salvation Army, and Chick-fil-A will make it easy for you. They'll have the bell ringers at Chick-fil-A. Come on to Chick-fil-A, drop money in the bucket as you walk in the door or go through the drive-thru. So Chick-fil-A will be showing they're not afraid to be affiliated with the Salvation Army. They're not afraid to be affiliated with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That it will be making clear to people that contrary to what is being claimed by the left and the right, that they're not walking away from the Salvation Army in particular. That's the one that has everybody really upset about. Here, let's concede that there's no ill motive on Chick-fil-A's part. Let's, for the sake of argument, some people are absolutely convinced they caved. Frankly, I'll tell you, I am convinced that Chick-fil-A, given the statements of Tim Tassopoulos, that they wanted to distance themselves from the Salvation Army. We could all be wrong here. That's why I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Although I'm pretty, the way the statement read, it makes it sound like they want to walk away because of left-wing pressure. But we should acknowledge whether or not that's the case. What this has done is it has emboldened Chick-fil-A's critics and the critics of the Salvation Army. It essentially makes it look like Chick-fil-A is tacitly endorsing the left's argument that the Salvation Army is a hate group. It is. Whether you like it or not, it is essentially embracing the idea that the Salvation Army is a hate group. Chick-fil-A says so. It's going to make the left think they can bully other organizations. If Chick-fil-A, a purportedly Christian organization, that's how the left views it, is willing to cave on the matter of the Salvation Army, how many other groups will now be willing to cave? The bell ringers are going to be targeted. Already you've got a massive shopping, big box store like Target saying they're not welcome here because they annoy people. They're going to go after Walmart next. They're going to go after Kroger. They're going to go after Publix. They're going to go after all of these grocery stores and other big box stores that have allowed the Salvation Army to stand out front and ring bells. And they're going to say, hey, Chick-fil-A no longer wants to do business with this group. Why are you people doing business with this group? It makes no sense for you to be doing business with this group. It's going to make it easier for the left to target the Salvation Army. The other thing it's going to do is it's going to embolden the left to continue to harass Chick-fil-A, because it looks like, intentionally or not, it looks like Chick-fil-A bent the knee to them. And that's how it's being viewed by the press. That's how it's being viewed by the public. That's how it's being viewed by Chick-fil-A's customers. It makes it look like they've bent the knee to the left-wing progressive woke mob. And so they're going to demand absolute fealty. You're already seeing it with GLAAD, this radical gay rights group, saying it's not enough. You got to do more. It also means that the new charities that Chick-fil-A gives to are going to be targeted by the left. They are going to have a digital rectal exam by the left. They're going to come after them. They're going to examine everything about them. They're going to make sure they're not a hate group. By the way, a couple of them are faith-based groups. The left is going to target these groups in the same way they've targeted the Salvation Army, in the same way they've targeted the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, because what Chick-fil-A has done has emboldened these groups. Even if everyone is misinterpreting Chick-fil-A, even if everyone is misunderstanding what Chick-fil-A is doing, Chick-fil-A is allowing this to go on by not clarifying the record. And in so not clarifying the record, they're allowing this perception to set in that even Chick-fil-A thinks the Salvation Army is bad. And Chick-fil-A is willing to cave to the mob in order to get into new markets. If Chick-fil-A is willing to bend the knee to the woke mob, then the woke mob will be emboldened to target other groups as well. And this is unfortunate because so many people have for so long supported Chick-fil-A, had Chick-fil-A's back, stood up for Chick-fil-A, and went out of their way to go to Chick-fil-A to make a point of supporting that restaurant. Without bowing to the woke mob, without bending the knee, Chick-fil-A became the third most profitable fast food restaurant in the country. It doesn't need to bend the knee. So be absolutely charitable to Chick-fil-A. Let's presume there were no ill intent. Let's presume it's just they've given money to the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes for a long time. Now they want to move on to other charities. That's fine. But even in so doing, we need to acknowledge that it has left an impression, and Chick-fil-A itself is the only entity that can clarify that it means no ill will to either of these organizations, and that it still stands with these organizations, and that it may come back to these organizations, and that it's not running away from faith-based entities that maintain biblical orthodoxy. Only Chick-fil-A can do that, and until they do, they've left the impression that they are capitulating, whether they are or they aren't. They can fix this, and they can do it today, and they should.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson, live every weekday.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. Phone lines are open, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Glad to have you with me. Thanks again for the prayers for my wife, and her scans were good. Y'all, I thought, you know, so I really did on Monday about 10:30, the Chick-fil-A story hit the wires, and I really thought it was fake news. I really did. I'd never heard of the website. Tim Tassopoulos gave the interview to a website called BizNow. I've never heard of BizNow. I didn't know BizNow was a real website. And by the way, it's interesting that the headline of this organization on which they gave the interview, this is their headline exclusive, Chick-fil-A to stop donations to charities with anti-LGBT views. That's how even they spun the story, where the CEO, the CEO chief operating officer sat down with them and made this interview. So it kind of plays out that they want to walk away from Christian groups that maintain biblical orthodoxy, given they set for this interview. That's the headline of this interview. But I did not think it was a real site. I got to admit, I thought it was a scam, that it was a fake news story, but it's not. It's a real website. And Chick-fil-A's come out to confirm it. There was another story I saw, and I thought this was nonsensical too. I could not believe that this was a real story. And part of me still expects that this story is going to be denied. Let me read you the headline. This is at CNN. Now, I know. Come on, listen. I understand. I say this is at CNN, and your first reaction, oh, it could be fake news then. I get it. But seriously, the Hollywood Reporter first reported this. CNN has picked up the story. Headline, a Hollywood executive wanted Julia Roberts of Pretty Woman fame to play Harriet Tubman in a biopic. Now, for those of you in DeKalb County, Julia Roberts is white with red hair, and Harriet Tubman is black with black hair. A Hollywood studio executive once suggested that Julia Roberts should play iconic African-American activist Harriet Tubman in a biopic. In a recent Q&A, screenwriter Gregory Allen Howard opened up about the 26-year journey to getting the Harriet biopic to the big screen. At the time the effort started, he said, Hollywood was not the same. I wanted to turn Harriet Tubman's life, which I'd studied in college, into an action-adventure movie. The climate in Hollywood, however, was very different back then. I was told how one studio head said in a meeting, this script is fantastic. Let's get Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman. No one was going to know the difference because of people's ignorance of American history. I would point out that this guy says, I was told how one studio head said. So someone told this guy this. He didn't hear it himself, but it's Hollywood. You and I both know this is totally plausible. It is Eric Erickson here. Welcome. The phone number, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Just a heads up to everyone, at 1230 today, if you're on the recipe list, you're going to get two recipes making up for last week. You are going to get a sausage egg bake and a French toast casserole recipe. And the reason that I'm sending these together is because I make them together. You make them the night before, you put them in the fridge, and then you get up in the morning, Thanksgiving morning, wherever, you pop them in the oven 45 minutes, and you got breakfast, one savory, one sweet. French toast casserole is kind of a sweet one. The sausage egg bake is a savory one. They're both very easy to make, and I highly recommend them. My family typically comes to our house every year for Thanksgiving, and we do all the cooking and cleaning and housing and feeding everything because I'm exhausted by this time of year. I've traveled so much for the year. And now with this radio show, I'm actually going to take a break and not do anything this Thanksgiving. It'll be unusual for me to not do any cooking for Thanksgiving, but I'm kind of looking forward to it because I do it every year. But typically everyone comes to our house for Thanksgiving. And what I do is I make a big batch of sausage egg bake and the French toast casserole, and you can live on their leftovers. You can live on it for 2 days, despite the number of people. Given the batches I make, they're easily doubled. But it gives everybody is savory and sweet for breakfast. It's the perfect combination. So it's sausage egg bacon, French toast casserole. They're easy to make. They cook at the same time. You put them in the oven together. They come out at the same time. You make them the night before. You keep them in the fridge. You keep them outside if it's cold, just well wrapped. I've done that before. It was so cold outside, we didn't have space in the fridge. I just wrapped them up tight and left them outside and then popped them in the oven the next morning. And they were actually probably colder outside because it got down to freezing than they were by leaving them in the fridge. But it worked just fine. If you want these recipes, they go out at 1230 today. I've got it set. They're ready to go. Already done. Text the word recipe to 33777. Text the word recipe to 33777. Do it by noon, 12:15 today, and you'll be able to get the recipes. Text recipe to 33777, and you'll get some more later this week as well. As I make up for lost time on this, Gordon Sondland is giving his statement right now on to the House impeachment inquiry. Let's listen to this for just a minute.
I had access to all of my phone records, State Department emails, and many, many other State Department documents. And I was told I could not work with my EU staff to pull together the relevant files and information. Having access to the State Department materials would have been very helpful to me in trying to reconstruct with whom I spoke and met and when and what was said. As ambassador, I've had hundreds of meetings and calls with individuals, but I'm not a note taker or a memo writer. Never have been. My job requires that I speak with heads of state, senior government officials, members of the cabinet, the president, almost each and every day. Talking with foreign leaders might be memorable to some people, but this is my job. I do it all the time. My lawyers and I have made multiple requests to the State Department and the White House for these materials. Yet these materials were not provided to me, and they have also refused to share these materials with this committee. These documents are not classified, and in fairness, should have been made available. In the absence of these materials, my memory, admittedly, has not been perfect. And I have no doubt that a more fair, open, and orderly process of allowing me to read the State Department records and other materials would have made this process far more transparent.
Holy cow, he's essentially throwing the White House under the bus, Sondland. This is his own CYA mode. Holy moly, that the White House isn't giving me or you what I need to read. Okay, can I just say something real quick, just on what we heard, and this is his opening statement. You're the ambassador, and it is your job to have meetings with people, and you say you're not a note taker and that you don't remember stuff. So you're not a note taker and you don't remember anything. So what good are you? This is someone who probably needs to be fired. In fact, there are hints at the White House. They're trying to make him the fall guy, and perhaps he knows that they're trying to make him the fall guy. It sounds like he is trying to do some serious CYA in the statement. Let's listen to a little more. Again, this is Gordon Sondland. He has testified before the House Impeachment Committee right now as I'm talking.
So we followed the president's orders. Second, although we disagreed with the need to involve Mr. Giuliani, at the time we did not believe that his role was improper. As I previously testified, if I had known of all of Mr. Giuliani's dealings or his associations with individuals, some of whom are now under criminal indictment, I personally would not have acquiesced to his participation. Still, given what we knew at the time, what we were asked to do did not appear to be wrong. Third, let me say, precisely because we did not think that we were engaging in improper behavior, we made every effort to ensure that the relevant decision makers at the National Security Council and the State Department knew the important details of our efforts. The suggestion that we were engaged in some irregular or rogue diplomacy is absolutely false. I have now identified certain State Department emails and messages that provide contemporaneous support for my view. These emails show that the leadership of the State Department, the National Security Council, and the White House were all informed about the Ukraine efforts from May 23, 2019, until the security aid was released on September 11th, 2019. I will quote from some of those messages with you shortly. Fourth, as I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make a public statement announcing the investigations of the 2016 election DNC server and Burisma. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we knew these investigations were important to the President. Fifth, in July and August of 2019, we learned that the White House had also suspended security aid to Ukraine. I was adamantly opposed to any suspension of aid. As the Ukrainians needed those funds to fight against Russian aggression. I tried diligently to ask why the aid was suspended, but I never received a clear answer. Still haven't to this day. In the absence of any credible explanation for the suspension of aid, I later came to believe that the resumption of security aid would not occur until there was a public statement from Ukraine committing to the investigations of the 2016 elections and Burisma, as Mr. Giuliani had demanded. I shared concerns of the potential quid pro quo regarding the security aid with Senator Ron Johnson, and I also shared my concerns with the Ukrainians.
Get ready. This is getting interesting.
Finally, at all times, I was acting in good faith. I was acting in good faith. As a presidential appointee, I followed the directions of the president. We worked with Mr. Giuliani because the president directed us to do so. We had no desire to set any conditions. We had no desire to set any conditions on the Ukrainians. Indeed, my own personal view, which I shared repeatedly with others, was that the White House and security assistance should have proceeded without preconditions of any kind. We were working to overcome the problems, given the facts as they existed. Our only interest, and my only interest, was to advance longstanding U.S. policy and to support Ukraine's fragile democracy. Now, let me provide additional details specifically about Ukraine and my involvement. First, my very first days as ambassador to the EU, which was starting back in July of 2018.
I'm going to wind this part down right now. This is Gordon Sondland. He's testifying right now before the House impeachment inquiry with the House Intelligence Committee. He has essentially thrown the president. He's thrown everybody under the bus. Just so you understand, let me read you his start of his statement. We missed this start of it. First, Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani. Simply put, we played the hand we were dealt. We all understood that if we refused to work with Mr. Giuliani, we would lose an important opportunity to cement relations between the United States and Ukraine. So we followed the president's orders. He goes on to say there was a quid pro quo. That the money to Ukraine was being held up on the Burisma situation and the 2016 investigation. And now, of course, he's saying he expressed these concerns to Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Ron Johnson has thus far said he knew of no concerns, but he hasn't submitted formal testimony. So you need to understand this about Gordon Sondland, just so you understand where we are in this hearing process. Gordon Sondland, the EU ambassador, was a Jeb Bush guy. He poured money into Jeb Bush super PACs, and Jeb Bush lost. Gordon Sondland poured money into efforts to stop Donald Trump, and Gordon Sondland lost. And then when Donald Trump became president, Gordon Sondland wrote a fat check to the inaugural committee to get into the president's good graces. And people lobbied on his behalf to be the EU ambassador. And here he is as the EU ambassador. So the Trump people have eyed this testimony nervously with good reason, because they knew there wasn't a ton of loyalty there between Sondland and the president. This is going to reinforce that view for the president and those around him that Sondland is being in some ways disloyal. Sondland, of course, is trying to keep himself out of jail for perjury, because Sondland originally denied that a lot of stuff happened, and Bill Taylor and Tim Morrison and others have come forward and directly contradicted things Sondland originally said, which is why I tuned in at the perfect moment. It was not planned. Tune in, and he says, so I didn't keep any notes, and I do this so much that I don't remember everything. It all runs together, and the State Department won't let me look at the documents, and they won't let you look at the documents, and they're not classified, and the State Department, bad. Throwing everybody under the bus to keep himself out of jail. This is going to be interesting. And you know, we've got all the testimony from the other day. I'll get to that stuff. There's other news we got to get to as well today, but let me fire him back up here for just a minute.
We're excited about the possibility of Ukraine making the changes necessary to support a greater Western economic investment. And we were excited that Ukraine might, after years and years of lip service, finally get serious about addressing its own well-known corruption problems. With that enthusiasm, we returned to the White House on May 23rd to brief President Trump. We advised the president of the strategic importance of Ukraine and the value of strengthening the relationship with President Zelensky. To support this reformer, we asked the White House for two things. First, a working phone call between Presidents Trump and Zelensky, and second, a working Oval Office visit. In our view, both were vital to cementing the U.S.-Ukraine relationship, demonstrating support for Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression, and advancing broader U.S. foreign policy interests. Unfortunately, President Trump was skeptical. He expressed concerns that the Ukrainian government was not serious about reform, and he even mentioned that Ukraine tried to take him down in the last election. In response to our persistent efforts in that meeting to change his views, President Trump directed us to, quote, talk with Rudy. We understood that talk with Rudy meant talk with Mr. Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer. Let me say again, we weren't happy with the president's directive to talk with Rudy. We did not want to involve Mr. Giuliani. I believed then, as I do now, that the men and women of the State Department, not the president's personal lawyer, should take responsibility for Ukraine matters. Nonetheless, based on the president's direction, we were faced with a choice. We could abandon the efforts to schedule the White House phone call and a White House visit between Presidents Trump and Zelensky, which was unquestionably in our foreign policy interest, or we could do as President Trump had directed and talk with Rudy.
Ouch. Yeah, he's throwing them all under the bus. Sondland is. This may be the most exciting impeachment testimony we've had. He does not want to go to jail for lying to Congress. In his previous testimony, he's given them everything they want. My goodness gracious. He said in his statement, I work with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States, and then says, we did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani, and yet he did. This is a new twist for today, but is it going to change anybody's mind? No. No, it's not. That's why this should be settled at the election and not the impeachment process. We'll be back. We'll take your phone calls as well. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425.
Honest news and conservative views.
Never separated from the truth.
It's the Eric Erickson Show.
Well, the Sondland testimony, there's a lot I want to talk about. In fact, when we come back, we'll put a pause on Gordon Sondland because there's a David versus Goliath story in Georgia that's worth talking about. A local small business in Georgia suing Target for trademark infringement. It's actually a kind of neat story to see someone doing that. And I got to mention here. The president on Sunday had that surprise visit to Walter Reed Hospital. He hasn't disclosed what went on. His staff says it's no big deal. And we are now, it is Wednesday, and the press is still melting down about the president going to the hospital and not telling them what it's about. And of course, it's oh, they lie about everything. This is probably, he's going to die. You would think, given the press's hostility to the president, they would be excited by this news. But no, they're really upset that the president and the White House are keeping information about the president's health from them. It is amazing, really, to watch the media meltdown over this. 4 days removed now from the story. People still questioning it, even as the Gordon Sondland testimony is going on. They are upset about it. It reminds me there have been numerous stories out about how people view the press these days, and that the press has a hard time of distinguishing between things that should generate outrage and things that shouldn't. And it is the press itself that really has been having problems with focusing on things that matter. The press itself can't distinguish between things that should be outrageous and things that couldn't. In the age of Trump, everything is outrageous. And that's not the way the world is supposed to work, and that's not the way things are supposed to happen. And so it's really hard for people to get worked in, even about this impeachment stuff. I don't believe that the polling will change. In fact, we got a lot of polling out there we'll get into later that suggests the American public wants to settle this at the ballot box and not in an impeachment hearing. And independent voters who initially wanted to go the impeachment route are now saying, nah, hold off. Let's do an election. Here, let's go back to Gordon Sondland here, who's still talking.
Wrote to us as follows. Just had a meeting with Andrei and Vadim, referring to Ukraine Foreign Minister Vadim Pristaiko. Taylor said the Ukrainians were, quote, very concerned about what Lutsenko told them, that according to RG, meaning Rudy Giuliani, the Zelensky-POTUS meeting will not happen. Volker responded, good grief, please tell Vadim to let the official U.S. government representatives speak for the U.S. Lutsenko has his own self-interest here. Taylor confirmed that he had communicated that message to the Ukrainians. Lutsenko has his own self-interest here. Taylor confirmed that he had communicated that message to the Ukrainians. And he added, I briefed Ulrich this afternoon on this, referring to State Department counselor Ulrich Brechbull. Again, everyone's in the loop.
That's Gordon Sondland. There was a report out last week. We didn't have a chance to get into it very deeply, that the White House intends to make Rudy Giuliani the fall guy. And it appears here that Gordon Sondland is playing his role. And I think he's not doing it on the White House orders, because he's throwing the president under the bus as well. But I think it's certainly clear that everyone was upset with Rudy Giuliani, and that they think Rudy Giuliani misled the president. And that perhaps is the president's best defense in impeachment, that he was misled by his own lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who he trusted. And when people say, well, why didn't you trust the State Department and whatnot? And he can say, well, look at all the leakers. Look at Anonymous. I knew they were there. I couldn't trust them, so I had to trust Rudy, and Rudy misled me. And the president could probably get off of that, badly misled by his advisors. When we come back, David versus Goliath in Georgia, and the Democrats are coming to debate down in Georgia. We need to discuss that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.